Are you ready to dip in?
Welcome to the Divine Intervention Podcast. I'm Freya.
And I'm Holly.
And we're here to guide you through spirituality, taboo topics, and everything in between.
We'll dip our toes into some topics and dive deeper into others. Nothing is off the table.
This is a safe space for you, our listeners, to learn, grow, be inspired, and open your heart and mind.
Get ready. Let's take the plunge together. Hello, dippers, and welcome back to the Divine Intervention Podcast. We are up to episode number 13 today. How exciting!
How exciting! We're still in Bali, so still live from Bali. And we've had such a nice week here, haven't we, Holly?
It's been so nice. We have hit the beach, we've had some pool time, we've had nice coffee dates. It's been wonderful.
It's been so good. It's such a reminder how important it is to take time out for yourself, to do the things you like, to have a change of environment, and just really enjoy your surroundings and slow down a little bit.
For sure. And Australia is in winter at the moment, as a lot of our listeners would know. And so we are loving the warmer weather here in Bali. It's just heaven.
Loving it. But it is the first time that I'm in Bali in, I don't know, is it their summer or winter now?
I don't think they have summer, winter. They just have dry and wet season. That's what someone told me.
Well, usually I'm there during the wet season, so around December, January, February. And I must say it's a little bit chillier than I'm used to.
Oh, really?
Yeah, really. Normally it's at night. It's so humid. During the day, like when you walk around, you're just like puffed and it's just so hot. Now it's actually really nice. Like at night, I can wear a long sleeve here now. Can't you? Like yesterday on a motorbike, I was getting a bit cold. I just had like a tank top on. I was getting a bit fresh.
Yeah, it's actually interesting. When I first arrived here about 5 weeks ago, I felt like it was a lot hotter, like a lot more humid. I was very sticky. And now maybe it's the region we're into here in Uluwatu, maybe. I don't know. It's very pleasant. I'm not too hot.
That's great. It's perfect weather.
Amazing. Okay, so today's episode, we're going to dive into trust and jealousy in our relationships, which is going to be a really interesting chat. But before we do, let's jump into our card of the week and our astro news for the week. So Freya, go for it. What have you got for us this week?
So this week I have a very special card. As we mentioned in previous episodes, traditional tarot decks have 78 cards. Now, some authors like to create decks that have one or two special cards. And that is not just the illustration. It's like an additional card that comes with this specific deck, which is the one that I have here. The deck that I'm using today, by the way, is the Dreamy Moons deck, which is from an Australian author. And it's just beautiful. She designs all the cards herself. And she uses gold foil against a black backdrop. It's just stunning. So make sure if you're into tarot cards, check her out. So the card that I pulled today is one that she added to the deck herself. And the card is the Flower of Life. Now, the Flower of Life is a symbol or a pattern that you may have seen because it's very well known in not only the spiritual world. I think it's very much a geometrical symbol all around the world, very ancient. Basically, it's just like circles overlapping each other. And if you look at it, it looks like it just keeps on going. And that builds sort of a flower-like shape. The meaning behind it is very beautiful. First of all, it stands for creation. So for new things coming to fruition, for new life to be born, and for new opportunities that are out there for us at any given moment. On the other hand, it reminds us that we are all created from the same blueprint. So we're all part of the same collective, of the same universe, and we stem from the same thing. And this card is a reminder that we all share the same human experience or even life experience also with other life forms. We're all connected. Yeah, that is a beautiful reminder. Sometimes when we go to trials and tribulations, we can really feel alone or, oh my God, I'm the only one going through this. That's definitely a feeling that I've had in the past. Whereas the reality is that there's always someone else, if not more, on this planet that is going through almost exactly the same thing as you are, or has felt almost exactly the way that you are. So the flower of life is just a reminder that we're all here together and we're all the same. Show some kindness and compassion to one another and try to understand each other.
That's beautiful. It's a nice little reminder to, yeah, remember that there are other people out there that are going through the same thing as you or similar thing as you, and that there was always someone out there that can relate to you, that you're not alone.
Yeah, definitely. It reminds me a little bit of, this is a very well-known book, The Subtle Art of Not Giving a Fuck. Have you read it, Holly?
Yeah.
It sort of really ties in with that, right? Where he sort of starts the book saying off like, you're not special. And it's not to say that you are not special, because, you know, everyone is special, but it's more saying that you're not alone in whatever experiences you are going through. There's always someone else that has felt the same. If it's not at this exact moment, it was before, or it will be in the future. So in that sense, we're all the same and we all need that reminder from time to time.
Yeah, amazing. I love that card.
Great.
Great.
So what about the astro news?
So the astrological news that I want to talk about today is Venus going into retrograde. So it went into retrograde about a week ago, and it's going to stay retrograding, so going backwards, until September this year. So when a planet goes into retrograde, it basically means that what it usually represents is reflected more internally rather than externally out in the world. So Venus represents love, values, beauty, and finances. And so whilst you might be noticing elements of these themes in your external world at all times, when a planet like Venus goes into retrograde, we start to feel these things internally. And so in terms of love, we might be evaluating our relationships. We might be identifying from within how we're actually feeling, whether we're happy in our current relationship, or whether, if you're single, what you want from a relationship, and maybe you need to redefine your goals and what kind of person you're trying to attract, if you are trying to attract a person at this point in time. And then in terms of values, we're going to be feeling like a real internal shift in what do we actually value? What do we actually want from life? What means the most to us? How do we treat ourselves? How do we treat others? And then the last theme for the Venus is the finances. And so internally, we might be finding ourselves wanting to rework our budget, or potentially decide to spend more money or less money on certain things. So basically, Venus stationing retrograde means that there's going to be all of this internal conflict at times, but also hopefully some revelations and maybe some clarity surrounding these topics. And I feel like it's really fitting, because today we're talking about trust and jealousy and values in relationships. And so this is a real Venus theme here today.
So interesting, and definitely feeling the love topic today. I'm so excited to dip into it further.
So that guidance was for the week ahead.
The week ahead. So today's episode is kind of inspired by a conversation Holly and I had a couple of days ago, where we were talking about our relationships, about trust, about jealousy, and our own experiences with that. And we thought it would be so interesting to dip a little bit further into that. So today we're going to be talking about love relationship, but also friendship relationships and our feelings towards trust, jealousy, loyalty, and all of these things. So definitely I feel like it has something to do with how you are born and how you are wired, obviously also astrologically, but obviously experience can really change you. I've seen people go from not being jealous at all to being in a relationship with a jealous person, or a person with more jealous tendencies, and sort of flipping that way a little bit. So I feel like it's definitely nature and nurture. If I look at myself, like, I definitely, especially in the beginning of a love relationship, tend to have jealous qualities. Definitely I'm prone to it. If you would look at my placements, like, I have a Scorpio moon. People with a Scorpio moon are less likely to instantly trust someone. They're always a little bit more on guard. They're like, let's just see what you do, see how you behave, see how you move. And then after time, when you've shown that you're not going to do something sneaky or shady, then we're like, okay. But still, Scorpio moon deep down will, I think, always have this lingering thing of, oh, you better not betray me. Right?
Yeah, for sure. And I think it also comes down to the fact that Scorpio feels their emotions so intensely. And so that there is naturally that guard of like, can I trust you? Are you going to hurt me? Because if you hurt me, I'm going to feel it so intensely.
So intensely. And definitely for me, combining that with my Capricorn sun and many other Capricorn placements, I'm big on loyalty. That for me is so important. If you break a Capricorn's trust, it's very hard to get back from that. We do forgive, but we do not ever forget.
Same as Scorpio.
Same as Scorpio. So those two placements together, I feel like that is definitely the nature side of me that, sort of amplifies that, especially in the beginning when you haven't known each other for that long or you haven't been in a relationship for that long, that I'm a bit more, on edge and like, what is going to happen? Can I trust you? Can I trust you when you go out with your friends? Can I trust you when I don't hear from you for a little while? What is going on? And it is sort of, it takes time for me to really get over that part.
That makes sense though, because you also have your Venus in Scorpio.
Oh, that's right.
So there's a lot of Scorpio flavors there. And so Venus representing our relationships in our astrological chart. Basically, that means that because Scorpio is sitting there in that placement for you, that's going to highlight in all of your relationships a more tendency to be jealous or a tendency to be a little bit more untrusting.
Definitely. And I feel like also your first love, you know, how they say like first love is the sweetest, but first cut is the deepest. I feel like that is very true.
That saying.
Oh, maybe it's not a saying.
But I love it. Say it again.
First love is the sweetest, but first cut is the deepest.
Oh, God, that resonates with my first heartbreak.
Oh, bless you.
18-year-old Holly. Yeah, I like that saying.
I feel like a lot of people would resonate with that because it's true. Because I feel like we go into a first serious relationship, naive, young. I was 14, 15 when I started first like 3-year-long relationship. And you're just so young, you have no idea what you're doing. And that is just like two people together. I don't want to say a recipe for disaster because it can go really well, but it's definitely like tricky territory because you're constantly like, what is okay to do that? Or what is this person doing? Am I okay with that? And you're already, your hormones are flying everywhere. It's hard to find a line between knowing that it's not okay because you genuinely believe that it's not okay, or is it because other people are whispering in your ear? Like you're a little bit more fluid in that time, you know, at least I definitely was.
Yeah, for sure. And I think you are figuring out who you are. You're figuring out like if these beliefs and values are yours or whether they're from your family, from your parents. And then, you know, you're just navigating moving from being within a family dynamic or being solo to then figuring out how to even be in a partnership. And when you're a teenager and you're trying to sort through all of that and deal with all the raging hormones.
Challenging. And I feel like definitely if you have a little bit of jealousy in that first relationship, like that is something for me, like there was definitely a bit of jealousy in that first relationship. And then you sort of get used to that, especially if it lasts for a little bit longer. And then after going out, you're like, after breaking up, you're like, oh, like, is that normal? If you're with someone that has jealous qualities and you're used to that. So, for example, you're going out and continuously you're getting messages like, who are you with? What are you doing? Respond back to me. Da, 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 da. Then, like, if you're used to that for a longer time, then I can feel like it can wire something in your brain or at least it's like a custom for you. So when the next person doesn't do that, which is probably more normal, you're thinking like, whoa, hold on, is this person giving me enough attention?
Yeah.
So it's so.
Does this person care?
Does this person even care? Because like before when he used to do that, it would be like, whoa, like drama.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like it's interesting what jealousy can do to your own thoughts and your own beliefs.
It's so interesting what you say about the experiences that you have with jealousy and trust, and then how when you transition out of one relationship and into a new relationship, you're inevitably going to take some of those experiences and learnt behaviors and preconceived ideals and beliefs into the new relationship.
Definitely.
Because you can only, I'm a firm believer in there's so much growth to be had when you're single, but you can only learn and grow certain things when you are in a relationship.
Very, very true.
It
pushes you. And I also believe, like, I know this is probably unpopular opinion here, right? There is, I've heard many times people say, I'm not ready to be in a relationship, or I need to heal first, I need to do this first. I feel like when the right person comes along for you, you can learn and have those experiences also in that relationship. You will give each other the space to do that. There is no such thing as a perfect person that's fully ready to go into a relationship. Okay, maybe some people, but we all have emotional traumas and things we have to work through at every given stage of life. There is, in my opinion, no point in waiting until starting a relationship, because if it's right, only if it's right, of course, not a relationship that is not serving you. If it's right, that person will only help you grow through that, and you will grow together. Because even when you're, let's say, you are ready, fully ready, and you're not working through something major, you start a relationship, maybe in a year from starting the relationship, something will happen to you. You will have to work through something, and then you will automatically have to do it together.
Yeah, and I think it's really beautiful to then have that support from a partner whilst you're working through traumas, whilst you're working through things. Shit from past relationships and your past. It's really beautiful to have that support from a partner who can try and understand you, or they can just hold that space for you, like, in a very non-judgmental way. And I, from my personal experience, I think that that is invaluable. I do think that if you feel like you need to be on your own for a while to do some healing, then so be it. If someone floats into your life and you still hold that opinion, though, it means that that person's not right for you.
Exactly. And that's what I was trying to say. Mm. It doesn't mean that you have to take a relationship with anyone, only if you are sure that it's the right person. That's what I was trying to say before, yeah, as well. You will maybe not 100% feel ready, but if it's the right person, you'll also feel, I'm not going to let this go. I'm not going to let this slide. I'm going to do everything I can and work together on it and grow together.
Yeah, definitely. And I think that's probably like a direct reflection on my current relationship. I've been with my beautiful boyfriend for 3.5 years now. And when we first met, I was like fresh off the rebound, and probably closer to a year later, we stayed in touch, but closer to a year later, we actually got together. And even at that point in time, I was a little bit like, I don't know if I'm ready to dive into another relationship, because I'd come out of a bit of a traumatic 6-year relationship, which had its ups and downs, and I learned a lot about myself and others. But I kind of hit this point with my partner Ryan where I didn't want to face a life without him. So it was either I cut all ties to do my healing work, but then I couldn't even entertain that, because I was just like, I don't want to not have Ryan in my life. Exactly. Even though I know I have things that need to be worked through, I have things that need to be healed. And don't get me wrong, Ryan and I have definitely had our ups and downs, but it's just been really beautiful establishing trust and establishing an open communication channel with each other, for me to then say to him, this is kind of where I come from, and I know some of my behaviors or triggers aren't nice, but this is kind of what I'm trying to work through. And it's really nice for him then to go, okay, like, I support you, we'll get through this together. And I think that's a really beautiful indicator that you're kind of on the right path, or you're in the right relationship at that point in time, because you're helping each other work through traumas and you're supporting one another. And I think that's a really beautiful thing.
Absolutely. And I think from that story, I take something that I also feel in the relationship that I'm in now. The most important thing for me is, on a trust level, is that you have that unwavering commitment underneath everything that goes on. Every relationship will have challenges, will have discussions, will have points where you do not agree on, things where you need to work on together and grow. But the most important thing for me is having a layer underneath where you never question your commitment to each other and your willingness to spend the rest of your life with each other or to continue the relationship with each other. Yes, you can have fiery arguments, you can have strong discussions, but I do not want to be in a relationship where in those discussions there are things thrown around as, if you do that, then I'll break up with you or I will leave you.
Mm.
No.
Mm.
For me, that's a hard no. Mm. You want to feel secure. You want to feel safe. Because otherwise, you're going to have your throat chakra blocked as well. Because you're going to feel like, oh, I want to say something. I want to step up, but I'm not going to. Because maybe this person will threaten to leave me. And I feel like for trust, the most important thing is to know that you got each other. No matter how hard it gets, you're willing to stay together. You're committed to staying together. And that is something that will help with jealousy as well, because you know that you're both in it to stick together.
Mm, and I think that this is definitely something, or this could just be my opinion based off my past experiences, but I really need to see the proof that that person is committed to me and that won't abandon me, rather than just vocalizing it. And I know that, you know, floating back to our love languages episode, I know that words of affirmation is probably high for a lot of people. And I feel like I've been a little bit burnt in the past though by words of affirmation not being backed up by action.
Mm-hmm.
And so like I feel if someone is saying to you, I'm committed to you, I'm here for you, that might be really beautiful to hear. But then for me, it's like the proof is in the pudding. Like when shit gets hard, like if you're by my side, then you've shown me that you're committed to me. And for me, that's where the trust strengthens and the trust starts to really, really become a strong foundation in that relationship. And for me, it can take a lot of time. And I honestly don't have any Scorpio placements. I feel bad. I'm kind of picking on Scorpio here.
No, we love Scorpios here.
We love Scorpios. But yeah, I've had a lot of trust broken in the past. And so it's kind of made me a little bit more wary, or I've had a lot of words and no action in the past. And so it's really important to me now that the words are beautiful, but I also need to see that action. So I also need to see that commitment. So yeah, that's really important to me.
Yeah, you want it both backed up. Like you want the words and you want the actions, because, you know, obviously actions always do speak louder than words. You want to see that someone actually is there for you in actions. So another interesting thing I find is when you have feelings of jealousy or trust issues, which I believe that the majority of people will go through at some stage in their life in one form or another, is thinking about where do these feelings come from. And Holly and I spoke about this the other day, and for us it's actually comes from a different place. Me with my Scorpio and Capricorn placements and just the person that I am, my feelings of jealousy and trust is the fear to be betrayed, to the fear to have my trust broken, to not know, to feel like, I don't want to feel like dumb, but to feel betrayed, like stabbed in the back, like I've done all this for you, I've been here for you, and you turn around and you did that to me. So it's that feeling of disloyalty that for me triggers jealousy and trust issues. Mm. But I believe that for you, it's more the fear of abandonment, like you said.
Mm. It's really interesting that it can come from different places. Mm. And I wouldn't characterize myself as a jealous person. Don't get me wrong, we all have little hints of jealousy here and there, whether it's with our romantic partner or when a friendship feels threatened. I know it can pop up at all times, but when I really think about the times that I get jealous or I feel like the trust isn't quite there, it stems from an abandonment issue for me that I'm still working through, and it's a long road. I have that jealousy and that fear and that trust problem because deep down, you know, maybe I feel like that person might leave me. The feelings of betrayal obviously would be heartbreaking, but I think the deeper seated fear for me is that that person will leave. Yeah, it's just interesting that Freya, yours comes from a more disloyalty, betrayal kind of fear, and mine is coming from the person might leave me.
Does that fear of abandonment stem from an experience that you had in your past relationships?
Yeah, look, I have definitely had a major experience that contributes to the fear of abandonment. But something that's interesting that I learned a few years ago when I went to a spiritual counselor was that issues like abandonment or traumas can be passed down to us through our mother's womb if our mother went through some traumas that she never dealt with. And I thought that was really interesting. It's basically called ancestral trauma. And so say, for example, that your mother had trust issues or major trauma resulting in abandonment issues, and she never really emotionally resolved that before she fell pregnant with you, then it's quite likely that she's passed on a little bit of that to you in the womb. And so, like, you may have come into this world holding on to some traumas, holding on to some beliefs, issues that maybe aren't yours. And I thought that was really interesting when this spiritual counselor pointed this out for me, because sometimes it's good to know that maybe it's not just you. Maybe it's not just the way you are hardwired. Maybe it's like some other things too, which can definitely be cleared. And the word for clearing these kinds of traumas to kind of prevent taking them into relationships, you're called a lineage breaker. You know, you do the work on yourself and you learn about yourself and your triggers and your traumas and your behaviors. And you go, what kind of person do I want to be? And if you start to heal and deal with some things, then it's less likely that you're going to pass it on to your children.
Yeah.
And this is probably a topic that's way deeper than what we intended for this moment. But I've just thought that that was very interesting, because I feel like that's probably where some of my abandonment has also come from, along with personal experience.
Along with personal experience. So not just solely the ancestral trauma, but also the things that you went through yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of like the double hitter.
Yeah, a bit of a double hitter there.
Great, great.
But, you know, I'm a firm believer in that as souls, we all chose our path for this lifetime. We chose our astrological chart. You know, Freya, you chose to come down as a Capricorn sun, Scorpio moon. I chose to come down as an Aquarius sun, Aquarius moon. And we've chosen this astrological chart and we've chosen this path because we want to learn the lessons. And, you know, when we arrive on Earth, we just kind of forget. And so this is just my belief. I'm not preaching this out there, but it's just my belief that we choose the path that we're walking and we choose the challenges and lessons that come our way. And so for whatever reason, I've chosen to deal with abandonment this lifetime.
Definitely.
And I've chosen to want to heal that within relationships. And again, just a mini shout out to my beautiful partner for supporting me through that, because it's not easy. I tell you that it's not easy. I'm already being tested with being apart from my partner, because if you listen to our life update episode, Dippers, you might know that my partner was traveling with me here in Bali for the first month and then he returned home. So now I've been on my own now for about a week and a half, and I don't have trust issues in terms of I'm worried he's going to go cheat on me or anything. We don't have those kinds of trust issues, but there's definitely some things coming up for me with wanting to know that he's thinking of me and wanting to know that I'm still a priority, even though I'm all the way over here. And when I really think into that deeper, it's that fear of abandonment coming up again, because it's like, oh, he's forgotten about me. Or this has definitely not happened, by the way. But, you know, it's that fear, you know, it's that want to have strong communication, to have booked in FaceTimes, you know, that kind of thing, to make me feel like I'm a priority in his life, and that deep down, the fear of him leaving me is not going to rear its ugly head.
Absolutely. And this is where communication is so important, and to set expectations and boundaries and tell each other what you want and what you expect. Like, for example, you might want to say to your partner, look, I do want to have regular communication while you are abroad. I do want to talk at least a couple times per day. I want to have a FaceTime chat. And it's interesting, because I feel I don't want to put all men in the same basket, because they're obviously all different as well. But sometimes in a male-female relationship, the female often, or at least in my relationship, I'm usually like the instigator, usually the one that is like very lovey-dovey and showers with words of affirmation. Whereas men sometimes don't really click on to that, or the relationship that I've had, that maybe you want something extra or you do want to hear that. So it's so important to express that as well, because maybe sometimes they are thinking of you, but they just do not have that next switch of like, okay, I'm thinking of her, let me message her now, because she would like to know that I'm thinking of her.
Mm.
So it's good to have that communication. And it's just interesting. I remember it's very funny. At the start of my relationship with my partner now, I definitely was having a little bit more of trust issues, jealousy. And there was absolutely nothing that he did to validate that. And it was actually him that made me realize that I was carrying that from previous relationships. Because very soon into our relationship, he sat me down and he was like, look, cut the jealous shit. I have not done anything to show you that I'm going to cheat on you or that you cannot trust me. I've done everything that, you know, that you asked me to and that you need me to. You're carrying that from past relationship. I'm not here for it. Do not put that on me because I do not deserve that.
Wow, that would have been a bit hard to hear.
A little bit. I knew that I was carrying it. Knew that I was carrying it. I definitely, in that moment, was a bit like, you know, like.
Yeah, reactive.
Petty. And reactive because I was like, oh, no, you know. Like,
it triggered you.
Triggered me. Yeah. Definitely triggered me. And I was like, well, come on. Like, we've only been together for a short time. You show me. I feel like it was definitely an interesting mix too with me moving to the other side of the world for my partner, put like an extra expectation on it from my side. Like we were very serious straight away from the start and there was never any doubts on commitment, but it did put a layer on it. Like for me, like my jealous side of things said, look what I've done for you. I've moved to the other side of the world for you, even though I really wanted that myself too. And then when he would do something that I wouldn't necessarily like a minor thing, I would be like, but I did this for you, you know? And that is a jealous tendency that I can really have at the start of a relationship. As time moves on, us Scorpio, Capricorns, whatever, people that have these placements will resonate. When time goes on and someone shows you that they're there for you and they're loyal for you, then that washes away. And there's this beautiful trust foundation. I like, I trust him 100,000%.
So you don't have any jealousy surrounding, like, I don't know, say he went out, I don't know, say let's say a box. Say he went out on a box night with a heap of boys and they're all getting drunk and doing God knows what, just like, you know, being rascals. Would you have any jealousy or worries coming up for you? Sorry, this is a bit of a deep question.
No, not at all. So I feel like first 6 months, first year, absolutely, I would be not happy. I would not happy because I want him to have that experience and it's normal. You should have fun with your friends and that should be 100% part of it. But I would have more expectation than I had now at the start of a relationship. I would want to have a message every now and then, maybe every hour or something, update what they are doing, where they're at. I expected more in that sense and I felt way more insecure. And that's why I expected more because I wanted to see, like, is he going to message me? Is he going to reassure me? Where from his side, he's like, nothing changed just because I'm away, like for a night or at the box. Like nothing changed. Like why?
That is the stark difference, I think, at times between men and women.
Exactly.
Men are just like, nothing changed. I just went out with my mates. And then us girls over here are just overthinking and going crazy.
Overthinking. And I would definitely overthink and I would lay awake and I would be like, you know, like what's going on?
Aww.
Very much in that beginning stage. Now, like recently that situation happened where he went away, like out on the box party. Honestly, like now I'm at the stage where I just fall asleep at 9 p.m. and I'm like, see you whenever I see you. You know, so
that's beautiful.
It's beautiful for me to have that personal growth and that development. And he has really allowed me to move to that. And I do feel as well, like now recently being engaged.
Yes, I was just about to announce that one. Freya's partner has shown... has done the biggest show of commitment.
Yeah.
Hey, putting a big sparkly ring on your fingers.
Yes.
Gorgeous.
Thank you so much. Yeah, I'm so excited. We recently got engaged. So it's just amazing. I would say the favorite thing about my relationship with my partner now, and it has been from the beginning, is his unwavering commitment to me. From moment day one that we met each other, I was like, yes, this is it. And it has never, ever been questioned. And I've had relationship in the past where there were rocky moments where it was like, are we going to stay together or not? And I feel like being engaged just puts that extra layer on it. And know that life is life and anything can change any moment, but you don't expect it to anymore now. So that is just a beautiful extra addition to that commitment. And that is something that I really value. And if it's one thing that I learned for any listeners here that maybe are single or are looking to find someone, I do truly believe that In essence, if someone is right for you, you will know and that person will show. No matter what they're going through, it's a little bit like what we already said before, but if someone wants to meet up with you, they will make plans to meet up with you. If someone wants to see you, you know, they will put the effort in. If someone wants you to know that they like you, you will know.
Exactly.
And that is often people ask me, but how did you know straight away from moment one that it was right? That is one thing that I say to look out for. You will know. When it's right, you will see that commitment. And it doesn't mean that you don't have challenges or arguments, but it means that that underlying base of trust is there, which is so important.
Yeah, so important. And I just want to talk about like the commitment thing again, in terms of commitment can look different for everyone, you know, the style of commitment and what stage you're at in a relationship. We're talking about romantic relationships here, of course. About what's going to give you that security based off of what those like deep-seated fears might be for you, you know? And I think it evolves and changes and grows with your relationship. I definitely found that when I first started dating my current partner, we didn't move in together for a good 2.5 years, partly because we were living in different cities for a little bit, an hour apart, not that far. But then I started to realize I need to see the commitment that he wants to live with me. And it's not that he was denying it. This is the time. It was all about timing. The timing hadn't lined up, but I really felt in myself, it's like, okay, I feel like our relationship needs to make this next step to move in together. And that will show me a commitment that he wants to build a home with me, you know, that he wants to come home to me every night. And it's actually interesting. Oh, we were obsessed with moving in with each other. We just loved it. I think maybe because we ended up waiting so long to do it, it was just so beautiful when it actually happened. But I noticed that some of the abandonment, trust, jealousy issues that had come up previously in our relationship vanished when we lived together, because I knew he was coming home to me every night, unless it was a planned boys' night away or whatever. It was literally like I didn't have to worry about when we were going to have our quality time, going back to those love languages. I just knew he was going to come home to me, and it made me feel a little bit more, a lot more settled and secure, kind of having that show of commitment. And so like, you know, if marriage isn't for you, I'm sure that another version of commitment, or, you know, it might be having children together, or it might not be. I think it looks different for everyone, but
yeah,
just kind of knowing within yourself, it's going to make me feel more secure in this relationship with this person. And then having the guts, the balls to actually have an open, honest conversation to say, this is what I need. And, you know, I've definitely been worried in the past about coming across too needy, coming across too clingy.
Yes.
Because, you know, I am such a physical touch person. I'm such a cuddly person. I love being with my person. And the trust that the person wouldn't judge me for being appearing needy or wouldn't hold that space for me, that was a lot to work through too. And so, yeah, I think there's a lot of layers to this. What it comes down to is really like communicating what's going to make you feel safe and secure in that relationship, or communicating something that's really bothering you. Just like you said, Freya, that your partner communicated with you, hey, like cut the jealousy shit. It's not on, kind of thing. It's interfering with our relationship. And it's like a beautiful thing that he felt safe enough with you to be able to open that conversation, because he clearly wasn't giving you an ultimatum. He was just like, I'm here. I love you. I haven't given you any reason to doubt me. So like, you know, like I'm here to support and hold you through while you process through that stuff. But I just need you to know that you don't have anything to worry about.
Absolutely. And I feel like sometimes jealousy gets such a bad rep. Like it's instantly people are saying like, oh, you can't be jealous. You shouldn't be jealous. Or you don't want to have a jealous girlfriend or boyfriend. But we're all human. It's very normal to have these feelings. It's so normal. And like I said before, everyone goes through them at some stage in their life. And it's just something we have to work through.
Exactly. And the jealousy thing's an interesting one, because it can kind of pop up in a few different ways. You know, like some people might be, they might have had past traumas to do with cheating. And so when their partner goes out, they're literally worried that their partner's going to meet someone and cheat on them, you know? So there might be that trauma lying there. And I definitely have jealousy coming up for me, but not in the form of cheating. I guess I'm fortunate to have not experienced that trauma in my life. But the jealousy stems from if he hasn't made time for me in that week. So he might be out with a friend, whether it be a boy or a girl. I don't really get jealous in that regard, but it's like, you're making time for that person, you also need to make time for me. And so that is something that I needed to figure out and communicate to him, being like, I don't care if you're going out with friends. I love that for you. You know, you go and have your you time, but I need to know that I fit into your schedule too.
Yes.
And so that it's interesting because usually I'm like, oh, I'm not a jealous person, but then I'd find myself being jealous that he was out with his mates. I'm like, why are you jealous? Like, well, what's going on here? And it's just wanting to know that you are going to have some quality time together as well.
Absolutely. And I feel like if you have a promise or a commitment, like if he would say to you, oh, but tomorrow night I got all night, I blocked it out free for you to spend time together, then those feelings would probably fade away. So often it's just, I feel like also you feel, when you feel jealous in a moment, you're not fully expressing it to your partner, like the underlying layer to it, because no. Often they can really take it out straight away. Okay, so at the beginning of the episode, we said that we would dip into relationships and trust, but also into friendship, relationship and trust. But we kind of feel like talking about this now that we have to do another little episode about that, because friendship is on a whole different level again.
Rather than record a 2-hour episode or something like that, let's just save it for another ep so we can really, really dip into the friendship topic, because I feel like there's a lot to chat about in that kind of space. And it's been so great today just kind of having a general chat about this. And I hope, Dippers, that some of you resonate with what we've spoken about. Please let us know.
Please let us know. Send us a message. If you're struggling with these feelings or you want to have like a little second opinion from the outside, send us a message. We're so glad to chat about it. And it's so good to open these conversations between each other as well to, you know, see like, oh, you feel it this way and I see it that way. It's just very enriching.
Just living in a world that's so social media potent, you know, and we often see the best of everyone's lives and not necessarily the struggles. I think it's just really nice to have a chat about this kind of stuff and remind each other, oh my gosh, it comes back to the card.
Yeah.
I just realized it comes back to the flower of life card, of that we are all connected and that we are all going through similar experiences. And just because someone looks picture perfect on Instagram doesn't mean they also don't have relationship problems. And so, yeah, let us know if you resonated with today and you just could relate.
Absolutely. Until our paths align again.
We'll see you at the next dip.